We're going to go traveling. There are many reasons, like a wedding, for a holiday, getting away from it all, recharging your batteries, an adventure holiday, experiencing another country, even battlefield tourism. Well, today's reason to travel will hit a home run with many of us, I'm sure. It's sports tourism. Where would you be prepared to travel to watch a sporting event? Where have you traveled and what have you seen? Is there good sporting tourism and bad sporting tourism? Tell us your winners and your losers in the sporting tourism arena. 922 11 882. And our travel guru, Christopher Parry from Chris Parry Writes For Us, has a bit of a passion for both sport and tourism, and he's more than happy to give us some tips today on combining the two. Christopher, hello.
Hi, Chrissy. How are you?
I am well. Are you hot out there in the big wide world today?
No, I'm nice and cool on the inside for at least the next half an hour anyway.
Okay, fair call. Yeah. Hey, how big do you think the genre of sporting tourism is?
It's huge. There's a range of information out there that shows us that sports tourism is actually the fastest growing area around the world for the travel and tourism industry. In Australia, it's worth more than $3 billion per annum. And if we look at close to home in WA, just as a couple of examples, the Ashes, and I know you were speaking rather disparagingly of cricket earlier in your show.
Sorry, but a couple didn't realise you were listening.
I'm always listening. And so, you know, the last Ashes that we had in Perth attracted 4,500 people from interstate and overseas and generated $12.5 million. And even down in Busselton for the Ironman WA, that attracted 2,000 people interstate and overseas, and over $6 million, you know, flowed into the town of Busselton. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, you look at what sports are doing, and one of the sports that's really mixing that love between supporters and participants is surfing. We're all aware these days of Airbnb and how popular that is when we travel. There's a site called Swell Dwellings, which lists accommodation for surfers at surf sites across the world, including those venues on the pro circuit. So there's a lot of opportunities to travel for sport and a lot of good contributions to our economy as well.
I like that, Swell Dwelling. Why do you think sporting events and venues are such hot destinations?
Look, I think like travelling for any cultural reason, any sort of cultural reason, it can be a motivator. You might want to follow a team on tour. Or it might just be because you're in the neighbourhood. You might find yourself in London on holiday and think, gee, you know, I've always wanted to go to Lord's. Or you might be in Melbourne for work and you think, gee, I've always wanted to go to the MCG. Personally, I've got a grass collection from notable sporting grounds that I've played on or visited.
And says so much about you, Christopher.
quite proud of the little clump of grass that I've got from Lord's.
How did you get that into the country, or is that not a question I should ask?
It was a long time ago, so let's just say that, yeah, it wasn't discovered, but it was okay. I haven't introduced any, you know, alien biodiversity into the country.
All right, moving on. Yes.
So the motivations might also be tribalistic. You know, you want to be with your team and support them in far-flung destinations. There's a great cricket touring group, which you'll find through the website wavingtheflag.com, which will take you around with the Australian cricket team. And they've built up a great relationship with Cricket Australia and the team, and will get you into places where other tours currently might not be able to, because they have that relationship. So checking out who you're going to be travelling with on these sports tours becomes really important. So you need to work out what you want out of it.
Are there actually guided sporting tours?
Yeah, look, and cricket's always a good example with this one. There's the lure of being guided by a sports hero that you've always admired, and they may have access to those players and facilities. I guess one of the more famous ones going back probably 10, 15 years ago now is Australian test player Greg Ritchie from the 1980s was doing tours, and he would run out onto the oval with his tour group, you know, at the end of the day and celebrate and do all sorts of things. So, you know, pick your sport, pick who you want to guide you, and you're going to have the experience that you want.
Why do you think something like that is so popular?
By going with
the guide?
The
guided sporting tour, yeah.
I guess the guided sporting tour, I guess it sort of gives you that opportunity to maybe get into facilities and meet players as well. So as opposed to just buying a ticket to that ground at that time. But I guess that's another reason why we want to travel as well to sporting destinations. If you think of American baseball in popular culture, and if you found yourself in America, there might be the desire to go to Wrigley Field and see a baseball game, those sorts of things. Huh?
Yeah.
All sorts of reasons.
You've mentioned a couple of sites, the Swell Dwelling. Is there anywhere you can go to find out about sporting tourism and tours in particular?
Probably the best one in Australia is the Australian Sports Tours website. It's a really good place to get started because you can select a sporting calendar for the sport that you like, and then you get to choose whether you want a guided tour or you just want to know how to get there, and you select the sort of package you're after. Again, whether you want it fully guided and escorted or whether you just want to work out how to get there and some of the places to stay and, you know, what the appropriate dress might be at those venues as well.
What are your hot tips for sporting tourism events and destinations in the next 12 months, Wimbledon aside?
All right, well let's start with your most passionately loved sport, cricket.
Oh.
2017 is all about the Ashes in Australia. So timing a trip to Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane or Adelaide or coming up to Perth to watch a bit of the cricket. Let's not forget the current tour of India that's going on at the moment. Check out the wavingtheflag.com site for details on how you can catch up with the tour that's on there. We've got a lot of South African expats here in Perth, and there's some rugby tests coming up in South Africa between Australia and New Zealand and, of course, South Africa. So they're in October and late September as well. Mm-hmm. You've also got the Formula One tours, and there's a site, if you look up Senate Grand Prix, they have some great package deals at the moment on the Monaco Grand Prix. So if you've ever wanted to feel like James Bond or one of his girls, the Monaco Grand Prix is a must, where the smell of burnt rubber lingers amongst the best-heeled and dressed crowds of any car race in the world. Mm. And then, I guess, closer to home, there's a few other events as well that we can look at.
I've heard you in the past describe horse racing events like a big plate of nachos. Do you want to elaborate on that? Because I've never been to the Melbourne Cup. Is that a big plate of nachos to you?
Look, I guess horse racing for me, horse racing events, I came up with that description that they are a bit like a plate of nachos because they start off looking spectacular, but my experience is towards the end, things can just look very messy. And I'll only self-incriminate myself with that one. I'm not going to speak for the ladies or the other gents at the end of the day, but for me, I really am a plate of nachos when it comes to horse racing events.
But you obviously still love them, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So Perth Cup is a bit local for, I think, most of our listeners. Is there a horse racing event in our state that you would recommend?
Well, Broome's always good, but certainly you can't go past Race Round in Kalgoorlie if you really want to demonstrate what being like a plate of nachos is all about. And just make sure you leave the car keys at home. You'll have a wonderful day, albeit maybe a bit messy by the end of it.
How would you recommend getting to something like that?
Look, I'd definitely recommend something like the Prospector. Get the train up, or unless you're going up with a group of friends and you've left it a bit late and you can't get the tickets for the train, then enjoy the drive up, but just make sure you park the car safely somewhere in Kalgoorlie when you're there and don't do any driving. You can walk from your accommodation to the racetrack and back again at the end of the day.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for inspiring us to pack the bags yet again this week.
No worries at all.
Now, we can't do it all again next weekend because the footy is on, but how about the following weekend?
Yeah, I think, given that we've just mentioned the Prospector, let's look at great train rides of the world.
All right, sounds fair. It's a deal. We'll speak to you then. And if you'd like to catch up with any of Chris's tips or travels, you can check out his website, which is Chris Parry Writes For Us. Coming up on the weekend, we're talking about sporting tourism. Steve Allen is going to join us in the studio for an update on today's smashing sporting event.